Welcome to the Mountains Men Minds podcast. This is an episode I've recorded alongside two friends of mine, Megan Moss and Kelly Dingle. All three of us have completed the Munros. I completed the Munros in 2022, Megan in 2023, and Kelly in 2024. If you don't know, the Munros are the 282 highest mountains in Scotland. Basically, if a mountain in Scotland is over 3,000 feet in altitude, then it's a Munro. And people that do the Munros are called Munro baggers. And I started by asking Megan how she first got into the Munros.
Well, I like getting outdoors and doing hiking. Obviously, I'm not from here. I had just come over from California and I was living next door to a Munro bagger. And I was telling him about a hike I did and he was like, "But was it a Munro?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he told me, that about this thing, Munro bagging, that it's this sim not really, that's not competitive, but it's something that you can tick off a list and it's a physical thing. And I was like, "Tell me more." And so then I started doing some Munro bagging with my neighbor and then met one of his friends that way. And then once I think I hit around 10, it was like an addiction.
And coming from California, how do the landscapes, the mountains of Scotland compare to when you're getting outdoors in California?
Well, I didn't actually get outdoors that much back home. It's very urban, pretty much everywhere near where I lived in San Francisco Bay Area. I'd occasionally try and get to like Muir Woods or the forest or something, but I had focused on football for most of my life. So I came here, I was playing football, but I really wanted to explore the Highlands and get out on hikes and stuff. So yeah, I was really happy. I mean, I thought football would be my everything for like most of my life, but I really Munro bagging actually exceeded that in terms of my passion for it.
And from those early memories getting into hill walking in Scotland, is there a mountain or mountain day that sticks out in your mind from those sort of kind of those first kind of few Munros that you did?
There's so many, and honestly, I was so unprepared at the start, like really silly mistakes that I'm like, "What was I thinking?" Or thinking I could do ones that I was way too ambitious to do, like in a certain time frame or with the equipment that I had. My first Munro was Ben Lomond, which I think's a lot of people's first ones. It's a good one. It's accessible. It's straightforward, but it's not easy by any means. It's long, and you're rewarded with pretty amazing views if you're lucky enough. And then straight after that one, I decided to do Ben Sterov, which is, I mean, not straight after, but like the next week. And when the days were short, I had trainers on.
I guess, Megan, I guess for someone that hasn't done Ben Starr before, hasn't done Munros before, how would you sort of contrast Ben Lomond to doing Ben Starr?
Well, Ben Lomond has a path. Ben Sterov is one of the many. Well, I don't know how to say 50% of the Munros maybe are pathless, or at least pathless in a lot of parts of it. I just thought I was lost, but I didn't realize no, it just doesn't have a path for a large portion of it. And I'm pretty sure I climbed over some fences and was on private property and stuff at some point. Like, I would say Ben Sterov is definitely a challenging one to try and take on when you're a novice without any preparation or knowledge or anything.
And
But I
Kelly,
think, oh
sorry.
no, I was just going to say some of the most memorable ones probably had to do with the people that I was with, but also the conditions and cloud inversions, especially.
And with the cloud inversion again, for someone that hasn't experienced one or knows what a cloud inversion is, what is it like? And what was that first experience like?
Again, if you're not super up on understanding weather patterns and forecasts, it might take you by surprise, which is a pleasant thing. You think you're just in fog for ages and that you're like, "Oh, I'm not gonna have any views." And all of a sudden you come above the clouds and you just it's it, I have chills right now just remembering it. It just you feel like you're on top of the world, especially if it's a winter Munro and everything's just you just on top of these snowy peaks and you can only see other scattered peaks off in the distance. It's pretty unreal.
Yeah, because it's that whole sort of you're getting out of the car, starting the hill walk, you're walking in the mist for a long while. You think that's what the whole walk's going to be like, and then suddenly with a cloud inversion, you're above the clouds, you're on the peak, you're looking out over the rest of the cliff.
Yes.
It's almost like I always think of it as the peaks that you're seeing around you are almost like islands, and the clouds are like, it's like the sea. It just looks so beautiful. Yeah. Kelly, what's your sort of early memories getting into Munro Bagan, and anything that sort of stands out in your mind?
Yeah, so I guess for me, I actually was rock climbing more before I was climbing Munros, so that's how I kind of got into it. And I guess I was climbed a few Munros by default, shall we say. I wasn't really bagging. I just, had happened to, top out on a few Munros when I was climbing. And then it was actually on my 29th birthday that I decided, right, I want to try and do 30 Munros before I'm 30. And I think at this point I'd done about four. So I thought, I'll give me a year. And then sort of very quickly I had done the 30, within probably a 6 month period. And those early ones, I can't even think way back to then, it was just probably kind of similar to you, Megan, maybe definitely a lot less experienced. Done like crazy things like used to carry a tent in quite a lot. So I did things like Annaig Igach with a tent on my back, carrying a rope because we thought, oh, we'll try and do a bit of a climb with this as well. So like looking back at that, I'm like, yeah, that was a bit crazy. And then I guess when I turned 30, my circumstances changed, split up with my partner who I used to hike with all the time. So kind of at that point, I was a bit like, what am I going to do? Because none of my friends were into hill walking. I didn't have anybody to go out with. And I was just a bit like, what am I going to do? Because I don't want to give up this hobby because I love it. But equally, I've got no one to go out with. I don't feel like I'm experienced enough myself to go out. And then I guess at that point, that's when I stumbled across the Iona's Adventures group. And I think I met you, Ross, and also went along to a climbing session with people there who they were into climbing Munros, and I think at that point it just kind of really took off for me. I always had in my head I'd like to do all of the Munros before I was 40, so that was kind of like my next challenge. And then of course we went into lockdown, so this was all at the beginning of 2020. So then we went into lockdown, and then I think after that it really just accelerated because it was, you couldn't leave the country. So I think that also spurred me on to like, just yeah, traveling around. But it was nice because I think before that I had never actually been to many places in Scotland. I traveled a lot overseas, but I'd never been anywhere in Scotland out of the Central Belt. I don't even think I'd been up to the Highlands or like maybe a couple of places, but nowhere, and that's what I loved about guests doing the Munros, because it would take you to places that you would never go otherwise. So some, especially the more remote ones, you would never go to these places otherwise. So that's what I loved about it, I think. And I guess I realized as well in the last couple of years that I think I've got quite a competitive, not competitive against other people, but definitely with myself. Like I feel like I'm one of these people that like needs to set goals and wants, always achieving the next goal. And I'd, be setting myself goals, right, I need to do this many Munros by the end of the year, or I need to do this many Munros by my birthday, or so yeah, I quite liked it for that.
And speaking of competitiveness there, I can, yeah, looking to Megan from being on hikes with Megan, who's a very competitive person. Megan, I can remember us quite a few times being on hills. And either seeing people ahead of us, and you're like, right, come on, we've got to catch them up. We've got to beat them. Or there's people that were behind us that are coming up, and the idea
Can't
for
let them catch you.
you
No.
of them overtaking us was just unthinkable. Like, come on, we keep going. We can't let them overtake us. Megan Kelly was talking there about Munro bagging being something that helped her see parts of Scotland that she would never have seen otherwise. Are there any parts of Scotland that stick in your mind from your whole kind of Munro bagging journey that stick, certain mountains, but particular areas of mountains that stick out for you?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I've covered every single back road in the country. I can't think of anywhere specific other than just general, like out in the Highlands. I'm maybe up towards like Ullapool in that area in Torridon. I don't know if I otherwise would have been up that way, and it's like amazing for hills. And I've not been back in a while, but there's some amazing hills that aren't Munros that I have yet to do that I'm quite excited to do up that way. So the only frustrating thing is around this time of year, there's that deer stalking that seems extra prevalent in that area. So you have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, Megan, in terms of your favorite mountain or favorite mountains, then what would you say?
I don't know what it was, but for some reason, I mean, it wasn't for the planning that I did really, but every time I went up to like Glen Nevis area, I had extraordinary weather, like blazing sunshine. So almost all the days out that I had up there, like Ring of Steel, or sorry, Ring of Stahl, whatever you want to call it, were just amazing days. But I have to say, my favorite Munro is probably on Chilluk.
And
That
again, for somebody that hasn't done it before, hasn't heard of it before, describe it and describe what's so special about it.
so you go up, it's, where is it near? It's kind of, we started in Ulupu, somewhere that direction. And I mean, I'm just a sucker for any sort of ridge, any sort of scrambling, any sort of, yeah, challenge like that just makes it extra special for me. We had started that together that day, I remember, and we, was it the two Munros we bagged? And then you had to
Yeah.
get back for some reason. I decided to head on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just the fact that it was a scramble and it just cascades above everything around it, and it's just, yeah, it's fun. It's just fun. Leothoc is also, I did that with my now husband, and it was very early on in his Munro bagging journey. And I wanted to go over the top of the pinnacles because I had read that is actually, despite what you think, it's actually safer to go over the top on that one. And it says, whatever you do, don't go on the detour path around the side. But he was a bit stressy because, you know, heights, and it was the beginning of his journey, and he insisted that we go on the detour route. We hit the summits, but in between we did the detour route, and I was like, are you sure? I don't think it's a, I think it's like more sketchy, like way dodgier than going over the top. And he was like, I'm sure. And it's, that was the scariest thing I've ever done. The path was like this wide, and it was sheer cliff on either side.
Oh God.
Like one bad step, you could see your car 3,000 feet below you in the
So like
car
it's like
park.
kind of what two feet wide or something was the path.
Yeah. And there's like some, the path had deteriorated and you had to like jump over bits, and it wasn't anything to grab on the wall because it was just rock.
Oh
Yeah.
geez.
That was probably one of the scariest ones I've ever done. So I definitely need to redo that and do it over the pinnacles. And I think one of my other, I'll shut up after a minute because I'm just rambling on. One of my other favorite ones, I had to relook up the name because it's not one of the most prominent ones, but it was Skyr Môr, and that's out past Fort William, like Gylfaginning, all the, those. But it's a nondescript Munro that you can walk through like hours of swampy peat and stuff to get to, or you can go across the loch and Loch Cuaig or something like that. And I was like, well, obviously I'm going to do that the fun way. And yeah, I took my paddleboard. That was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. I was by myself that day. It's probably not the safest thing to do. And just paddling across this massive loch to this, do this Munro, and then going back. I felt like I was in like Pirates of the Caribbean or something, just like exploring new lands, like land and sea. It was, yeah, it was a feeling that I don't know, I can't quite describe, but, and it was my penultimate Munro. So not my second to last, my third to last Munro.
Yeah, I know which one you mean because yeah, I definitely didn't
You
get
definitely did the
across.
walking route,
Yeah,
probably.
I did the walking one rather than going over the water, and that is a really long route, and you have to go down. You go up, then down for a big bit, then up again. It's very steep and like lots of kind of reascents and things. So I'm sure your way was probably not quite as intensive on the knees trying to get to, but probably a bit more sounds a bit more fun.
I was like seeing Moana and stuff on
That sounds fun. That sounds fun. Kelly, what's your favorite Munros? What kind of sticks out for you?
Yeah, I mean, similar to like what Megan just said there, actually. So actually, the way that I done Sleok, Was a bit like that as well. So we paddled over the loch on kayaks, and then we scrambled up, and then obviously then scrambled back down, and then paddled back over the loch again. And it just felt like a real adventure because it was more than just I've never obviously walked him, but again, I know that that one's quite a long slog to get to. So it was kind of just made it a bit more exciting to do that, I guess. And yeah, like you guys, I mean, I love Torridon. Like, it's probably like one of my favorite areas in Scotland, and just that general area. Also, I really like Kintail as well, so I love the hills up there. Sometimes I think you just get up and then you can just see the hill. You know, if you're doing the Brothers and Sisters, you know, you're just up there and you can just see, you know, hills for miles if you get a nice clear day. So I really like that area as well. But for me, I think some of my favorite days have been those really challenging ones that have been like absolutely awful at the time. Like when I did the 10 Memoirs after having about 3 hours sleep and a hangover in the morning, and it was looking back now, I'm like, I don't know how I managed it, but you know, it was a massive day. But it was like one of the best days. And same, I did the Muller Docks as a round of 12 as well, where we camped halfway around. And again, at the time, it was awful. And I remember like hobbling back to the car thinking, why do I do this? But then when you look back on it, I'm like, oh, those days were amazing because it was like such a challenge and it was, you know, yeah, really good. But really hard. And that feeling of accomplishment after it, I guess, because you did that really hard thing and then you feel good after it, but not so much at the time. But yeah.
Did you guys find that sometimes you actually felt like, you know, the big day with maybe three or four Munros was actually not as tough as like a single Munro that you were like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. I'm just going to nip up here and back. It's like, yeah, it's something
It's the
about
mental
being.
battle. It's the mental battle because I think no matter what I am doing, and even now, even if I'm doing an easy walk, it's you know that you're ready to finish. So even if you're doing one Munro or you're doing 10 Munros, you're ready to finish because you know it's time to finish. And like you say, sometimes one Munro's harder because you think it's going to be really easy, and then you're like, gosh, I've been out for hours for one hill. So yeah, it's the mental battle of like the expectation. What you think's going to be.
And Kelly, I guess the more Munros you did, and then you decided that you're going to complete the Munros, like you said, kind of over kind of COVID time, a bit more time outdoors, and getting that momentum building up. What was it like those final few weeks where you were like edging closer to the last one? And was there any reason why you left Miala Vuri as your last Munro?
Well, so it was actually really funny because it was probably about the year, it was the year before, and I was at my friend Steph's final Munro, and we had, so she, her final Munro was Crease. So a few of us had decided, oh, we weren't going to walk up the Walker's Path, so we did Scrun the Crease, I think it's the name of the scramble, up onto Crease, which is absolutely amazing. It was a fantastic scramble. It was amazing. We had perfect conditions, great day for it. So we got onto the top of Crease, and my friend Tom always wants to do these really obscure routes. So he had suggested, he was trying to talk me and a couple of others, oh, no, we're not going to walk down with the others. We're going to go and do this other scramble, which was absolutely awful, might I add. But at the time, I was like, well, no, because I want to bag that other Munro. Like, we're here now. It's so close. I want to get that one. And then just at that moment, I just thought, actually, maybe I could leave that to my last one. Because a tip for anybody that's planning on doing the Munros, try and choose early on in your journey what your final Munro is going to be. Because for me, I wanted friends to come. I wanted family to come. I wanted it to be close to home so that people could travel there if they wanted to come up in a day, but also nearby to facilities that you could sort of spend the night or whatnot. So I think at that point I had thought, oh gosh, I've not really thought it through, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do as my last one. But then at that point I thought, that's perfect because there's a chairlift, so a ski lift, so you know, family members, people that don't hike could get the ski lift up, and then they'd only have a short walk to the top. There's a cafe at the bottom, so you know, there was a lot of things about it that I guess seemed appealing to make that the last Monroe. So at that point, I got roped into doing this awful scramble down the worst gully imaginable to get to. It wasn't worth it. However, I'm glad I chose that one as my final one because, yeah, I think it was a good one to do for a final Monroe. And I guess back to what you were asking there, what were the last couple of weeks like? Oh gosh, so I had been on holiday, and so my friend Gav and I decided that we were going to do our final Monroe together because at that point he said, "Oh, well, that would be a good one for me to do for my final as well." And we were kind of like, had a similar amount to finish to do together. So, we hike a lot together. So we decided to do that as our final one. So we had still the Monroes left to do at Glenfinnan, the ones beside the Harry Potter Bridge. So we had the three Monroes up there to do, and we only had 2 weeks left, this 2 week window. And one of the weekends we were busy, so we really had this one weekend. And I had been on holiday, and my flight had basically been delayed, and I had a connecting flight. And I was nearly going to miss the connecting. I thought I was going to miss the connecting flight, which was then going to, push back for being able to get these Monroes done. And there was a storm coming in, and it was just one of those moments of like, I need to get this done because everybody's booked accommodation, and we all think that this final Monroe's happening in 2 weeks. I need to get home. I need to get this done. So I was running through Pisa Airport, making my mum run behind me to get onto that plane because I was like, I need to get home. So I think, it was crazy. I think I got home about midnight and then had to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning to drive up to Glenfinnan to try and get the two Monroes done. I can't remember which ones they are, the ones that you pass the Harry Potter Bridge, to get those ones done before the rain started. I think we got absolutely drenched, and that was on the Thursday. And then on the Friday, there was a storm coming, so we couldn't do anything. We just had to spend the day in Fort William at the climbing centre, praying that the Saturday was going to be less windy so that we could get the final one done up there. So yeah, it all went smoothly in the end, and it all Kate fell into place. But yeah, it was a bit crazy at the end, but I like a challenge, so I think it was good in a way as well.
I could feel the pressure there from you kind of
Oh.
remembering back to that. It sounded pretty heavy there. But yeah, at least you made it and full credit for doing that, because it must have been pretty tough to push through all that to make that final date with everybody booked.
Yeah.
Megan, I guess with Kelly saying there about choosing a final Monroe that was, very
Yeah.
short, easy for people to get up. What was your final Monroe?
My final Monroe was Sleok, it's up near Torridon, so far away and notoriously difficult, and also in winter. Yeah. I waited too long to pick my final one, and then I was like, oh, I gotta pick an epic one. So out of like the last 10 I had, I was like, that seems like everyone keeps banging on about how amazing that one is. So I was like, right, let's do it. And I was really lucky to get a good window of weather for that because I was stressing. I actually we got the hostel was opened up for us. So anyone who was coming to that one was allowed to stay in the hostel with us, and we had it to ourselves. It was crazy, but it was just a lot of pressure because I was like, if everyone's come all this way and the weather's not good, we can't do it, then. But that was a crampons, ice axe kind of day,
Oh, wow.
starting with head torches. But I was determined. I really wanted to finish before my wedding.
That was a hugely special Monroe, and the conditions you got with the snow. But I mean, there was snow and you needed ice axe and crampons, but it wasn't like ridiculous waist deep or like
Yeah, it was
sketchy. It
perfect.
was really nice conditions.
Yeah, I was very lucky, and it was just incredible. And if you've done Slioc, I mean, it is a long slog, but you get to the top and then you bag it. But then you can go, the return route goes around a ridge and all the way back down. So it's kind of a long return route, but you get to stay up high and just like assess the kingdom. I just remember feeling quite emotional. It was because there was a bit of a false summit. And then the group I was with, yourself, said, "Wait here, we're gonna go ahead, to do like the guard of honor thing." So I had like a little bit to sit by myself, and I was like, So I'm getting emotional now thinking about it. But I was just remembering all the times on, the Monroes that I was like, tough days that I was like, I can't do it. And I did it like that many times. And it was just, yeah, I'm a little bit hormonal as well because I'm like weaning off breastfeeding at the moment. So my hormones are all over the place. But yeah, it was a really special moment. And just thinking about like, I guess I did it relatively quickly. I mean, normal, not particularly. It was like 5, 6 year journey, but it just felt like I had come a long way.
It's
Hormones.
quite emotional, though, actually.
Kelly, what was that feeling like for you then? Because I remember being there as well on Miala Vuri at the top, you and Gavin making your way to the summit, finishing the Munros at the same time. I remember it was so cold. It was really cold, but a great day. And what was that feeling like just as you were making those final steps up to up to your final Munro?
Yeah, I don't know. It was actually a really weird feeling. I don't actually know. Like, it's hard to explain. I don't know. It just felt a bit surreal, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it took a while to actually feel like it had happened, Like, I don't know. I think it's so all cons like for me anyway, like 'cause like you, Megan, it was about 5, 6 years, 5 years-ish that I did it in, and it was quite all consuming, I
Yeah.
guess, towards the end. And it's just what you do. So every weekend it was, you were just going out and doing the Monroes and ticking them off. And it just felt a bit surreal that this is it. Like, this is the end. Like, I've done it. And like you, like, I think at the time you're like, I don't know, I guess for me at the time, I didn't quite think, oh, this is actually a really like incredible thing that I've done. But you just, I don't know, like I just didn't think that, but actually, like on reflection, it's like, yeah, that is actually a really amazing thing. Like, not many people do this, and that is a really, special and, incredible thing that you've just went and done. But yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah, I guess it was a bit emotional as well, like just having like family there and friends and just everyone that had been part of the journey. It was just really nice that people had made the effort to come along. And it was nice doing it with Gav as well, because we'd kind of like, both been on the journey together, I guess. So it was quite nice, like finishing together and having someone else there that kind of, yeah, was in the same, knew how it felt. And it was quite nice after, because I went into work the next day and my work had made a really big deal of it. They'd put like banners all around the school and they had me taken into assembly on the Monday morning. I'm a teacher, and all the kids were just fascinated, and I was interviewed for the school newsletter, and my pictures were, yeah, pictures of me put up everywhere around the school. But I was like, it was actually really nice that they'd like acknowledge that it is a special thing. And I think it was like quite inspiring for a lot of the kids. Like, a lot of parents have actually said to me, it's really inspiring for the kids. Like, the kids have come home saying, oh, they want to climb a Munro, or kids were asking me what would be a good one to go out and do with your family and things like that. So I guess it's quite nice in a way that you can inspire people to, and that's what, like, I guess even just talking about it, like, inspiring people to get out and do it, because it is an incredible thing. Even if you don't finish them all, but just going out and climbing hills, like, it's so good for you, and it's, yeah, such a great feeling just getting to the top of a hill,
To finish off, Megan and then Kelly, if you were to describe your Munro bagging journey in three words, right off the top of your head, what would they be?
Challenging, accomplishment, bra.
Bra. It was bra. Good. Kelly?
I think also challenging. I think fun, because I've had a lot of fun doing it. And I guess character building, to say that's two words, but yeah, character
It counts.
building.
Thanks for listening to this podcast episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And big thank you to Megan Moss and Kelly Dingle.